Welcome back to the Legendary Life podcast. I'm your host, Ted Rice, and I've got AJ Roberts back for part two. AJ was so generous in sharing his time and his knowledge all about how to be more successful, how to get your mindset right, how to think about success for the long term, how to make it into a process. But we didn't even get to talk about any training, nutrition, anything about what you're an expert in, AJ. So thanks so much for doing this part two.
Oh, my pleasure.
So let's talk about it. You have a really interesting past in terms of athletics. You were a basketball player, you turned into a power lifter, you held two world records, then you got into CrossFit. Where are you now with your training?
Yes, I actually did a bodybuilding show about a year ago and had fun doing that. You know, lost over 100 pounds when I stepped on stage from my powerlifting days. So I went through that whole transformation. And then I was kind of just moping around, training to train, so to speak. And I decided, okay, I got to set another goal. So I decided, you know, my strength had dropped quite significantly since the powerlifting days. I hadn't trained heavy in probably 3 years. And when I say heavy, I mean maximal weights.
1,200-pound squat.
So I obviously was a long way away from that and decided to compete. I never have competed in – so when I used to compete in an equipped federation, meaning I could wear a belt and knee wraps and squat suits and bench press shirts and things like that. And so I'd never competed without any of that stuff in what they call raw competition. So I decided to do raw meet, and I did that probably about 2 months ago now. Unfortunately, I tore my hamstring in the deadlifts, which is the last – you squat, bench, and deadlift in a powerlifting competition, and – deadlifts are the last event, and I tore my hamstring. So that put me out for about a month. So I just started walking and going. Basically, I live here in San Diego, and so going and enjoying the beach a little bit more and getting out in nature, hiking a little bit with my partner and dogs. And so just was doing that, and then decided that I was going to get back into bodybuilding shape. And so began kind of preparing myself for that, and then I begin prep for my next competition in about a month from here. So for me, the trend, as you probably can tell, it's not so much about what it is I'm doing. It's about having a goal. The difference now from before when I was powerlifting as a professional, you know, it was my life. It was my identity. It was everything that I lived for. No one could get in my way. It was first priority, and that was that. And the thing I've kind of now, I set these goals, but it's more for me. I'm not trying to set records or impress anybody else. I'm just doing it to keep myself at my highest, where I feel my best in, and obviously, and that's pushing myself. And I love to set goals and push towards those goals and reach those goals and achieve them. And so even though it's a very different experience now, it allows me to stay in shape, keeps me healthy, and have fun along the way. So probably should have been doing that all along, but I don't know if I'd ever would have pushed as hard as I did and set the records I did if I had that attitude. But now I kind of, you know, a lot of people tell me, you know, they just have fun and they have no intention of trying to break a record or anything. Now I kind of get it, and it allows you to have a little bit more balance in your life and focus on other areas like relationships and business and things like that. So yeah, right now it's more about just being in the best shape I can be in and pushing my body in that sense.
Yeah, that's such an important transition, and it's one I made personally. And while you were telling that story, I could just, when you mentioned relationships, I could just picture like your girlfriend or your wife or whatever saying, oh, we really need to talk about this. And you're just like, nope, time to hit a PR on the deadlift, you know, and eat some raw meat or whatever you do with the powerlifting situation, right? It's so important, man. And what would you tell guys to focus on? I think most non-fitness professionals, I'm like you, right? I got to have a goal. I care about the way I look, but I care about my health and I care about my business and working hard more than the way I look. And these days, I mean, I can still see my abs a little bit and fine that way, but I'm not nearly as cut and what people would say in shape from looking from the outside, at least. So what do you have to say about guys who are maybe more physique oriented or unstructured with their training? What do you have to say about being more goal focused and being balanced in your approach to health and fitness?
Yeah, I think the key thing to understand is that regardless of what your goals are in terms of health and fitness, or fitness, I should say, regardless of, you know, whether you want to be shredded or whether you just want to live longer, the reality is that to be a peak performer in terms of business, in terms of a relationship, as a father or mother, to be someone who's on top of the game, someone who is energized, you have to be in great shape. The better shape you're in, the more energy you'll have, the more passion you'll have, because you'll have the energy to be passionate, to drive through those difficult points, those ups and downs, because you're prepared for it. If you think of it like a battle, you know, there's times where you're on top and there's times where you're down, and your physical health sees you through those. You can't afford to get sick for a week or 2 weeks. And, you know, one of the greatest things I think with working out and being physically fit is you get sick a lot less. And I think that those are the things that you have to keep in mind, is that maybe you don't like working out. Maybe you don't like going to a gym. And it's something that I've realized just recently while I've been walking along the beach. It's about a 5 mile stretch. But during that walk, I realized, like, you know, how beautiful nature is, and just getting out and moving is the key. And it doesn't really, you know, guys like us, we love to be in the gym. We love to bang weights. We can track and measure, and we can see progress that way. Same as why CrossFit's so popular, because every day you're competing against the gym, but you're competing against yourself, your times, things like that. So you can see the progress. But some people, you know, it's funny, I love to go to the gym, right? So when I was powerlifting, I couldn't wait till it was time to go train. And it's funny, I talk to people, and to them, the last thing they want to do is go to the gym and train. And so I think the key is finding something you enjoy doing, whether that is pick up basketball or softball with your friends, or whether that is, you know, if you live by the beach, surfing or stand-up paddleboard and kayaking. If you live in the mountains, you know, mountain biking, hiking. There's things you can do that aren't going to put you in a box, basically, and to lift weights or run on a treadmill or something like that. You know, in reality, like humans, the only reason that gyms exist is because we got so out of shape in the first place that we needed to kind of create a place that would stimulate and give a response in a quicker time manner than just moving. But for most people, if they walk more, give themselves time to think, you know, work on stress levels by meditation and stillness and just enjoying, you know, what's around them, their health and fitness kind of takes care of itself. And you don't, like you said, you don't necessarily have to be like absolutely shredded with abs, because that's not necessarily healthy. You know, bodybuilding is healthy up until about the last month, and then
right.
And then you move into zombie status, and you know, your diet is restricted and it's hard to function at a high level. So even those guys that we see in the magazines on the covers, and those guys don't maintain that look year round. I think it's one of the biggest misconceptions, if you're not familiar with the industry, is that these people look like that most of the time. You know, they look like that for like a few minutes. And from show to show, if you follow someone's career, you know, every show they look completely different, and sometimes they nail it and sometimes they don't. And so in terms of healthy body image, it's very distorted, but it's really not about the body image. It's about the heart. It's the resting heart rate. It's about, you know, your ability to just move about your day as optimally as you can, so you can perform at your highest thing. And little things you can do, you know, like having a stand-up desk, my desk, but it can go up and down. So when I need to sit, I can lower it and I can sit. You know, it's about addressing it, health in all areas, and just being conscious of that and mindful of what you put into your body, you know, from the foods. Maybe you crave certain sugars and stuff, but it's better to eat fruit than it is to eat candy bars, you know, or fast food. And, you know, luckily now there's a lot of places are moving more health conscious, so you can get healthy fast food, dare I say it. But that's the key, is just, you know, if you want to be as successful as you can in business, you need to remember your health is a key part of that. You hear lots of stories of people building huge businesses and, you know, basically having a heart attack or a stroke and having to take, you know, not work at all for 6 months because they're pushing their bodies too hard. And the key is not to spend your whole life focused on one thing to then spend the rest of your life trying to get back what you lost, you know. And I think that if people are just aware of that, if you want a great relationship that's full of passion, that's full of spontaneity, you got to be able to do stuff. You know, you can't be exhausted from, you know, going for a walk. And those are the things, you know, when you have kids and that kind of stuff too, same thing. If you want your kids to grow up healthy, but you can't go take them to the park and play with them because you're too tired, kids are going to grow up, you know, doing what you do, sitting around. So these are the things you have to think about. And I think that that's where most people probably are. And so when it comes to setting goals to achieve things, the reason I do that is because it gives me a benchmark to shoot from, to shoot towards. And of course, once you reach the benchmark, then you reset the goal. So if you struggle with motivation in terms of working out, like you don't enjoy working out, find something that would motivate you. You know, do a 5K, do one of these adventure races, mud race, Spartan race. So you're training for something. So you have something to focus on. And I think that most successful people tend to be competitive. And so it's good to be competitive against yourself.
Yeah. No, thanks for providing that more holistic approach to being fit and understanding what you have to sacrifice, what those people who get up on stage, and, you know, all shredded and pumped on bodybuilding and physique competitions have to do, and that they don't really maintain it. Yeah, it's so common. People are just like, oh, what do we look like that? And not really understanding the realities of that type of situation. So you mentioned a few different things. You mentioned having a goal. You mentioned taking walks in nature. You mentioned resting heart rate, which is, if you're listening and you don't understand why that would be relevant, it's kind of a indicator of maybe your stress levels and your overall heart health, right? Make sure it's not working too hard or too stressed out. So what are some other things? Are you into the whole biohacking? I know you know Tim Ferriss, and you hang out with a bunch of these types of guys who are really into experimenting with health. What are some other things that you've tried that keep you at performing at your best so you can be your best self in your business and your relationships?
Yeah, I was big into biohacking a few years ago and did a lot of experimentations. I actually went through a phase where I would only sleep for 2 hours, and then I would take naps throughout the day. I was down to like sleeping for like 4 hours, 5 hours with one nap. And so I did a lot of things to try to push the boundaries. And really what I found is that everyone has different. Some people need 7, 8, 9, but there's an amount of time you need to rest and you need to recover. And the things that really make a difference, these biohacks, they can be used at times to really dial something in. So things like nootropics to help you focus, you know, and different focus drugs that are out there, they work phenomenally. But you don't want to become dependent on this stuff, right? Same with energy stuff and things like that. So, you know, basically, I love biohacking, and I think that hacking in general is a phenomenal thing. It really, what it is to me, it's not really a hack. What really it is finding a more efficient way to do something. And so when you look at, just say, hacking success, for instance, you can basically try to figure out something all alone, you know, on your own, and struggle through and make all the mistakes. Or you could find someone who's already done what you want to do and hire them. And so, for example, like one of the hacks would be for me for diet is I've never been a nutrition guy. I was always interested in training. I never really got into nutrition. So when I decided I wanted to lose weight, I could have gone about it on my own, try to figure it all out, or I could just hire someone to do it for me, right? And so that's what I've turned to in terms of hacking is, for example, meditation. You could try to figure meditation out on your own, or you could go and can learn from someone, and in 30 minutes, you know, they can show you how to do it. If you really struggle, you can go away for a 12-day silent meditation retreat, and that'll show you for the rest of your life how to, you know, get into the place. Or what would be a biohack, so to speak, is a float tank. You know, you go into a float tank and it sets down all your what's going on, basically shuts your body down and puts you into a meditation state. Of course, there's plant medicine as well that will do the same thing. And so really, to me, what it is, like I said, finding a more efficient way to do something. So I like it. But there is biohacks and there is things that people do, I think, that push the limits. And I don't think that they're long-term solutions. If you struggle with focus, taking a focus drug or a nootropic, so to speak, is definitely an aid you should be using, but you should also be figuring out, how do I maintain focus?
Because if you don't learn how to, you know, focus, or how to, you know, not procrastinate, so your time management skills, if you don't figure out what's actually going on in your mind, then you're always going to be dependent on the drug or, you know, the tool. And it's not a long-term solution, because eventually you're going to need to back away from that, because it's going to cause other problems, right? So the real key is figuring out how the body operates, how the mind operates, and then learning how to control that and be in charge of that and be in state and things like that. And it's actually something that I realized Tony Robbins, Date with Destiny, what he's done is he's taken these things that people are reliant on drugs for, like certain music or things like that, you know, energy, stimulants, and all this different stuff. And he's figured out how to put people into that state and teach them how to get into those places and to the focus and that without all of the caffeine and whatnot. So it is possible to do it with a drug. It's possible to do it with tools, but more so it's possible to do it without any of that stuff as well. And so I think short term for some people, absolutely, you know, using these different things that give you the ability to access, I guess, higher thought processes is great. Long term, though, you want to figure out how to do that, you know, on your own. And it is possible. And so that should be really the journey. And that's kind of where I am now, is looking at, okay, like in terms of focusing, what is best time for me to work? When do I feel the most energy during the day? You know, that's my magic time. That's where I'm going to work. But then what's going to set me up during that time to do my best? So making sure I go through my morning rituals, ensure that my day kind of flows in the right way. When I skip those, I notice my day is different, you know, and those kind of things. So that to me is, you know, biohacking is awesome. It can show you what's possible, but then you got to figure out, okay, how do I access this on my own? So another example is emotions. So if you get sad, right, it's about being able to recognize, it's okay to get sad, but it's being able to recognize, like, why am I sad? And then asking yourself a series of questions to pull yourself out of that as quickly as possible. And I think that a lot of people will turn to drugs or alcohol, or in a situation like that, you know, if there's a death in the family or something like that, a lot of people go dark. And, you know, that's a temporary fix, but it's not a long-term solution. And so you need to find better ways to handle situations, right? And that comes from understanding how you operate, understanding how to process things, and then it takes practice. So I'm a big fan of biohacking, but I think it's more so to show you what's possible, and then you can start to figure out, okay, how do I get here? Like, how do I get quality sleep without having this special light, or without having, you know, this special bed mat that I have to sleep on, and all these things that are, like, you know, new technology. These weren't around back in the day, and people did just fine. So I think that those are the keys. Like, you know, if you don't sleep good, the key is not hacking your sleep. It's figuring out, how do I sleep better? And a lot of times it comes down to diet, nutrition, right? If you're feeding your body the right nutrients, usually you can sleep pretty good. But if you're deficient, you know, that's why people who take ZMA or melatonin and things like that, it's because it's counteractive to something that you don't have or that you took, and that's putting at bay. So yeah, you know, I think you should leverage it for sure. It can give you advantages and get you ahead. And I definitely love to do that stuff. But it's long term, it's finding out how you operate and how do I operate my highest level without any of that. And it's possible. I truly believe it is possible.
Yeah, that's such a great point. So it's cool to get into the biohacking thing, but I think it's especially seductive to where we are. Like, oh, what's a quick fix? I don't want to sleep that much because I know I can work more if I don't sleep. So let me try that. I think it's called what? Multiphasic sleep or whatever the hell it's called.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the key is, you know, maybe you can do that if you're pulling an all-nighter, for instance, but really mastering your body, mastering putting your, how to put yourself in state, mastering how to change your state. If you, like you mentioned, if you had a tough time, I mean, I lost a friend a few days ago as we're recording this, a motorcycle accident, just completely unexpected. And man, I was feeling down for a few days, but I started, you know, we all have to figure out how to not let that sadness or negative event, no matter what it is, overcome us. And you just put that in a very succinct, powerful, concise, and easy to understand way. So don't rely on that stuff. Really master yourself and master what you can do without relying on tools and drugs. Yeah, that's well said. So that being said, what would you recommend someone to do? You mentioned that you went to Date with Destiny, and Tony Robbins has this way of putting people in state to essentially change their neurochemistry by having them do things. And you also mentioned a morning ritual. Can you mention what you do for your morning ritual, what you found works for you, and maybe some other things so people can start using that type of technology, just doing the right things instead of looking to a drug or, you know, a mat to balance out the negative electron, you know, the, I forget what they're called, but the free electrons or whatever.
Yeah. So for me, the more structured you are, the better. And I have days where I'm on point and then I have days I don't, and I notice the difference. And the biggest thing is waking up, not being on the cell phone, not checking your email messages. You know, all of that stuff is a distraction, and usually it's someone else's agenda. If you're responding to people, something they want, it's not in your best interest. So long story short, you know, I get up, go drink probably about 32 ounces of water because you're dehydrated in the morning. So I get water into the body right away. And then I go for a walk in the morning, or walk along the beach usually, or in the woods around here with the dogs, just depending on kind of morning it is. And from there, I come home, and then I like to eat my breakfast. Then I'll meditate for 10 to 15 minutes. I'd like to do longer, but I tend to 10 to 15 minutes I can meditate pretty good for. Sometimes it does go longer, but that's about the – I don't want to say the attention span because that sounds kind of bad, but it seems to be that that's about what I get in and feel good at. So I come out of meditation. And then from there, I have a gratitude journey called the 5-Minute Journal, and go through a series of questions in that that basically – it's asking about three things that are awesome in your life, and then three things that will make today awesome. And then there's some affirmations I do in there.
Where
and
can
then,
people get that, by the way?
That's available on Amazon. It should be available on Amazon. It's called the 5-Minute Journal.
5-Minute Journal.
And there's like PDF downloads too as well. And so, you know, because I can never journal, you see. All these successful people say journal, journal, journal. And I would start and then I would never continue. And then I'd go back to it, and it'd been like months since I last wrote in the journal. And so this 5-Minute Journal I've been able to do every day. It's just a really simple way of doing that. And it really keeps me in check. I love doing it. So do that. And then after that, I watch some form of or listen to some form of educational 20 to 30 minutes. Usually a book summary, or Success Magazine has a book summary club. There's other book summary clubs as well. So it's just basically a condensed book. And so I like to do that, or a video that someone's recommended to me or something like that. I do that, and then I listen to – I have a YouTube playlist of motivational stuff that I listen to, and then I get into my workday about 10 o'clock. So I get up usually around 6:37, and then I start work around 10. So it's about 3 hours before I go into my workday. But then between the hours of 10 and 2 p.m., I'm hyper-productive, I guess is the best way to put it. I feel as if I get more done in those 4 hours than most people get done in a week. And because, you know, my body is prepped, it's ready, it's prepared to go into that. So that'll be the work mode. Then I'll work out. I like to work out in the afternoons. I've tried the mornings, and it's been not something I've found that makes me productive. So I like to work out. And then after that, I'll do some work in the evening as well and spend time with my partner and things like that. So, but that morning ritual, when I miss, you know, if I miss the walk, or if I miss the meditation or something, I feel that by mid-afternoon, I'm in a different place. And so, you know, for me, the great thing in the morning is to, you know, hydrate the body, to move, to spend some time in stillness, and just let your thoughts settle and get kind of clarity on everything. And that walk sets you good for the meditation, because on that walk, you're really able to process stuff as well. And so the meditation kind of, you know, gets everything in check. And then education, because my mind's open. So I like to, you know, get that in the morning, just in case I don't get another time in the day to learn. And I think you should be learning every day. And then, you know, finished off with the motivational piece. And that's really just to get me fired up, you know, like just to remind me of how powerful we are. It's just to you really spark that light, you know, spark the fire and whatnot. And that's something that, you know, I think that most people, they struggle with motivation, but then if they look, they don't motivate themselves. And, you know, you can do it with mantras, you can do it with affirmations, you can do it with whatever you need. But that's the key, is just is getting yourself ready for the day every day. And if you look at, you know, what we do and we give to the world, like we got to give it 100%. And we're not going to do that if we're in a bad mood, or we're not awake, or we're not switched on. So to me, that's why my morning rituals is the way it is. And it works well. And I'm always tweaking it, you know, and moving things around and experimenting to try to make it better or add things in if someone recommends it. You know, for a while I was doing a guided meditation because, you know, I struggled in silent meditation. So I did guided meditations. And then finally I figured out how to meditate without, you know, in silence without falling asleep. So I switched over to that, you know, because I find that a little bit more powerful. So I think it's about, more so than anything, is having some form of routine and going about your day in that way. And the more structured you are, it's funny, I feel like structure, everyone thinks structure is imprisoning, and I feel like structure is freeing. The more structure you have, the more freedom you seem to have. And that's what I really like.
Yeah, man, that was so powerful. So just to summarize what you said, AJ, it's you have this series of things that you do that you found work for you that puts you in a state where after you've done them, you are your most productive. And if you don't do those things, you can spend the same amount of hours or even more hours working, but you don't get either the same amount done or the same quality of work done. And if you're listening to that, and maybe you should try what AJ does, but if that doesn't work for you, you need to find out what does work for you. Find something, find some actions that you can take in the morning that change your state. You've mentioned that word several times, and it just means, or, you know, if you listen to Stephen Kotler, he talks about being in flow, and you need to find things that put you in that state so that when you do finally get to your work, you are just crushing it, killing it, making it happen, being creative, being innovative. And that's such a powerful, I have a morning ritual as well. It's a little bit different, but again, it comes back to what works for us. But you're such a successful dude. And by the way, as soon as we get off, I'm ordering that 5-minute journal, and I will have that on the show notes so you can also experiment with that. See if it changes your mood, changes your perspective, makes you more productive. No, really cool. AJ, what about some final words of talking about how to maybe think bigger about what we're capable of? Because you're a young guy, 30 years old, you've been very successful in many endeavors, holding those two world records in powerlifting. You've also had a very successful entrepreneurial journey. And probably the most important thing out of everything that I've heard you say in our time talking together and listening to you speak at Changing the Game is that you found how to hit your stride and make your work meaningful and make sure that you're doing something that you're also passionate about, but also thinking bigger about how you can impact more. You were at a conscious capitalism seminar recently, and you're just doing all this amazing stuff. So for anybody who's listening, who's thinking small, and really we're all thinking small, right? There's always a next level. What can you say about reaching the next level and making a difference in our lives and for other people?
You know, one of the biggest thing I realized is that life is never about you. And most of the time that's, if we really are brutally honest with ourselves and look at how we operate, it's all for selfish reasons. And I think that when you look at the great leaders of the world and you look at what they do, they start that way too. And at some point there's a switch and they realize that now they have all this money or this power that they could help a lot of people. And I don't think you have to wait until you get to a certain number in your bank account or until you have so many followers on your email list or Facebook or something like that to start having a bigger impact on the world around you. And so, you know, some people don't have the vision to change the world, and that's totally fine. But can you change your local community or even your household? You know, how can you make your wife's or your kids' lives better? And I think that what people need to focus on is goals and set things that challenge them and stretch them to be the best they can be. I look at it like this. We've got one life, and that life is going to end someday. And so we can either choose to push the boundaries and really create something special for others and focus our attention on that. Or we could just choose to go day to day and basically wait until we die. There's no rules on how great or epic your life can be. We see people go from rags to riches every single day. We see athletes who come from slums and ghettos on the Olympic stage and the NFL and the basketball, you know, and NBA and things like that. And to think that, you know, well, that's good for them, but I'm not them. We're all human. We all have the same capabilities, and truly believe that if someone wants something bad enough, then they can achieve it. And so when it comes to stretching yourself, and maybe you don't start huge with a worldly goal, maybe you do, but it's about pushing the boundaries and figuring out, okay, now I said I'm going to do this, how am I going to get it done? And I think that that's why most people don't achieve great things. It's because they don't set themselves up to achieve it, meaning they don't believe that they can. And so someone who, for instance, is overweight, who says, oh, I wish I could have abs. Well, there's not really any secrets out there about how to get abs. You eat less, you work out more, and it's a pretty good strategy, right?
Yeah.
The people who are successful in business, they work more or sell more, and they figure out a way how to have a big company. And I know people who make millions of dollars and they have like one employee. And so it's not about whether it is possible. It's just about whether you're going to be committed to that. And yes, you don't have the answers right now, but you'll figure it out. We have children, and a lot of people don't have be parents and they figure it out. We grow up and no one teaches us how to really be an adult, but we figure it out. I think we're capable beyond what we know as humans. And I think that, you know, some of the stuff you're seeing that kind of blows you away in terms of the tech world and computer technology and what they're able to do now with 3D printers and things like that. It's just another example of everything is coming about because humans are creating it, and we are magnificent beings. And so knowing that, you know, our time on Earth is limited, knowing that being here is a gift in itself, you know, we're the sperm that won, so to speak. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, you just have to look at it as, am I going to waste my life doing just this? And, you know, if you're doing something phenomenal that's changing people's lives, then no, but there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But at the same time, it's how do I have a bigger impact, and how do I create a legacy that will last beyond me? Living forever, in my opinion, it's not about figuring out what drugs we can take, what pills we can pop, or putting us in a freezer so that we can come back when they figure that out. What it really is creating something that our name lives on forever. And, you know, there's people like Steve Jobs and Walt Disney and Albert Einstein who, you know, the things they did will live on forever. And so that's the kind of thinking I look at. And I look at people like that. And to me, it's like, okay, like what were their beliefs and their philosophies? And when I say live on forever, it may not be in the world's eyes, but what about your family? Are you the grandfather, you know, the great, 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 great grandfather that they talk about that changed the path of their ancestry? So those are the things that I think about on a daily basis. And when you start to think like that and you start to just question why, you know, why, what's my why, what's going to drive me, what's going to motivate me, what is it that I'll die for, fighting for? And when you start to get answers to that, now you have a purpose, and that purpose is it serves other people. And I think that service is what only makes everyone happy. If you struggle with happiness and you just start serving other people, it seems to take care of itself. So, you know, why not shoot for the stars? And heck, if you miss, at least you got to the moon.
I love it, man. So powerful words in closing, AJ. I hope you listening out there, you take those words to heart, you take action on them so you too can live a legendary life. AJ Roberts, thank you so much for part two. I'm even more inspired by speaking with you this second time. And make sure you go check out AJ at ajroberts.com. He is someone to pay attention to because he's making big moves. He's not just impacting the fitness industry, but he's impacting more and more people across the world with what he's doing. So AJ, thanks again. Really a pleasure to connect with you, my friend.
Oh, my pleasure.